The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back, second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stettler, on the network here on this Wednesday, already the 4th of December, 2019. And by the way, the last paragraph of this story, and this is what I take exception to here. That's why I said, my friend, I wish you would have given me the source on this story, because I would have emailed the guy that wrote this story. Because there is one glaring mistake in this, and it goes as follows. Governor Lamb walked back to his seat. It dawned on everyone at the conference that our nation and the future of this great democracy is deeply in trouble and worsening fast. It's already a disaster because, Mr. Writer of this wonderful story, is you're convinced that this country is a democracy. You're an idiot for that statement, because you've already flushed half of America down the toilet by making that statement. If we don't get this immigration monster stopped within 3 years, it will rage like California wildfire and destroy everything in its path, especially the American dream. Well, he finishes off, if you care about and you love your country as I do, take the time to pass this on just as I did. And I would make a suggestion. Folks, his story is posted on our website, everything but the last paragraph, and forwarded. I am not for editing people's materials. That's why I cover all their materials. It's their intellectual property. But in this particular thing, I'll save this guy the distress of shooting himself in his own damn foot. Hello, Steve Elkins.
Hey there, John.
How are you?
I'm good. You sound a little worked up.
Here again we go with the stories about the lesbian, gay... Oh, God, And this has not been officially sanctioned per se, but they're doing the end round, and they're getting this curriculum into our schools, and they're teaching our children this. This is the generation. You thought that the Generation Y or Generation X or whatever, now we're calling the millennials, you think the millennials are brain dead? Now they're going to get supercharged with, hey, look what you can do with this.
It's time to homeschool.
Well,
forget the public school system. Go strictly to
My argument on that one. That's what everybody says, Steve. But the majority of people in this country will still be what? They'll be in the indoctrination centers called our public school system.
That's true.
Yeah, this has got to be stopped. Forget pulling your kids out of the school. Let's start pulling these teachers out of the schools. Let's start pulling them off of these city councils that would vote. Here in Austin, Steve, they voted unanimously. There wasn't one dissenter. Oh, yeah. Well, we'll rubber stamp that. Yeah, let the faggots and the lesbos have their way with our children. Oh, did I say an unkind? Was that a hateful word? Too bad.
I'm right there with you, John. I agree with you 100% on that. it is time to push back and push back very, very hard.
Harder than what?
Twice as hard as they're pushing the issue on you.
Thank you.
Push back.
Yeah. At least double the effort.
Yep.
So you had a little run in with somebody in a Stop and Rob in Florida?
Yeah, I did. The insinuation I was a racist. And interesting, I went in to prepay for my gas. And there was a young guy working there. And he was flapping the jaws with a girl there. I think he was kind of flirting with her. And I walk up to prepay and I look over. And this is the truth, honesty. He did look like Dave Chappelle, the comedian. And I think Dave Chappelle is actually a pretty decent comedian. He's actually kind of like a Richard Pryor. And as far as politics go, the guy is sharp on politics. He's not politically correct. He's very much a conservative. He laughs and points fingers all the time and makes a lot of fun of the liberals. So I look over at him, and he does look like Dave Chappelle. And I say, hey, you ever do any stand-in work for Dave Chappelle? He looked at me kind of funny. I said, the comedian, you look a lot like the guy. And then he kind of stopped and he said, that's because you say we all look the same, right? And I said, no. Don't go there. And the girl was, then he kind of came back at me, and the girl that was behind the checker there to take my money said, hey, you guys, don't start a fight over this. I said, no, start any fight. I said, you're trying to make an issue out of nothing. I said, I simply said you looked like Dave Chappelle, the comedian. He's a pretty funny guy. I like him. I didn't say you look like Jimmy Walker. I guess if I'd picked somebody like Martin Luther King or some other person, maybe Denzel Washington, maybe that would have been a compliment. But I don't know. He tried to make an issue of it. He said, because you all say we look alike. I said, yeah. I said, don't go there. And that paid for my gas, went out to my car and laughed. A couple of people are in line watching it, and I thought, what's this guy? You know, not me, but the other guy. What's he's making an issue out of nothing here? You know, I don't know. You know, it's just the way I am, and there was nothing bad intended. It was somebody trying to make something out of nothing, and I get so tired of those kind of people. And which brings us to what we're seeing today is the hearsay trials, making something out of nothing, and they don't have a thing here. And I sent you some pictures today of Nadler. He looks so flippant, constipated. The guy is so frustrated angry.
He has got a green tinge. I looked at the fat-faced one, and I thought, is this a Vulcan? Did they just trim his ears a little bit? Because he's got a green cast to his skin. I'm looking, this, and I'm looking, and I'm going, wait a minute, is there something wrong with my TV? No, there was nothing wrong with my TV. This guy looked like he died 2 days ago.
Yeah, he did. It's pretty bad. Oh. I'm loving it, though. I got to say, today, I watched a little bit of the hearings, and I got to say, I love this guy, Jim Jordan. I flat out love this guy. He reminds me of a young Barry Goldwater, who doesn't, he's not going to play political correctness. He calls it as he sees it, and the clip, I hope you watch the clip, and if you play it tonight, spot on, a home run, a total home run from Jim Jordan today, calling these people out, and I love it. It's just awesome.
Well, speaking of your clip, I was tempted to play it. You know, there's one that, this one is what? Come on.
4 minutes.
Pop up. There is another one. That was 15 minutes long, but I am not going to play that one. But here is Jim Jordan and talking about it. Hold on a second, Mike. Go ahead and pot it up. I'm having a hard time stopping this. This is Jim Jordan, and he's talking about predetermined impeachment. Now, after Donald Trump... It wasn't 10 minutes after Donald Trump got elected, the New York Times was already calling for his impeachment. This started a long, long time ago. Here is Mr. Jordan, said that the facts are on the president's side, and he used his time to slam the unfair impeachment process during the House Judiciary Committee's first impeachment hearing. And Steve, I actually watched about an hour and a half of this today.
Right.
Yeah. You've been watching this psychodrama. And I told you I refuse to watch it. Because what has dawned on me, this is abundantly clear without question, is this is a move to protect Hillary Clinton, the Epsteins of the world, the crooks of the world, the people that prey on your children, and just about every American in one way or another. Here's Mr. Jordan at the committee.
The gentleman yields back. Mr. Jordan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before Speaker Pelosi announced the impeachment inquiry 10 weeks ago on September 24th, before the call between President Trump and President Zelensky on July 25th, before the Mueller hearing in front of this committee on July 24th, before all that, 16 of them had already voted to move forward on impeachment. 16 Democrats on the Judiciary Committee had already voted to move forward on impeachment, yet today we're talking about whether the positions they've already taken are constitutional. Seems a little backward to me. I mean, we can't get agreement. I mean, we got four Democrats or four people who voted for Clinton, and they can't agree. Yet today we're talking about the Constitution. Now, Professor Turley, you've been great today, but I think you were wrong on one thing. You said this is a fast impeachment. I would argue it's not a fast impeachment. It's a predetermined impeachment. Predetermined impeachment done in the most unfair partisan fashion we have ever seen. No subpoena power for Republicans. Depositions done in secret, in the bunker, in the basement of the Capitol. 17 people come in for those depositions. No one could be in there except a handful of folks that Adam Schiff allowed in those depositions. Chairman Schiff prevented witnesses from answering Republican questions. Every Democrat question got answered. Not every Republican question. Democrats denied Republicans the witnesses we wanted in the open hearings that took place 3 weeks ago. And of course, Democrats promised us the whistleblower would testify and then change their mind. And they changed their mind. Why? Because the whole world discovered that Adam Schiff's staff had talked to the whistleblower, coordinated with the whistleblower. The whistleblower with no firsthand knowledge, bias against the president, who worked with Joe Biden, whose lawyer in January of 17 said the impeachment process starts then. That's the unfair process we've been through. And the reason it's been unfair, let me just cut to the chase. The reason it's been unfair is because the facts aren't on their side. The facts are on the president's side. Four key facts will not change, have not changed, will never change. We have the transcript. There was no quid pro quo in the transcript. The two guys on the call, President Trump and President Zelensky, both said no pressure, no pushing, no quid pro quo. The Ukrainians, third, didn't know that the aid was held up at the time of the phone call. And fourth, and most important, the Ukrainians never started, never promised to start, and never announced an investigation in the time that the aid was paused. Never once. But you know what did happen in those 55 days that the aid was paused? There were five key meetings between President Zelensky and senior officials in our government. Five key meetings. We had the call on July 25th, very next day, July 26th. We had Ambassador Volker, Taylor, and Sondland meet with President Zelensky in Kyiv. We then had Ambassador Bolton, end of August, meet with President Zelensky. We then had the Vice President meet with President Zelensky on September 1st, and we had two senators, Republican and, more importantly, Democrat Senator Murphy with Republican Senator Johnson meet with President Zelensky on September 5th. None of those five meetings was aid ever discussed in exchange for an announcement of an investigation into anybody. Not one of them. And you would think the last two, after the Ukrainians did know the aid was being held, you would think it would come up then, particularly the one where you got Senator Murphy, the Democrat, there talking about it. Never came up. The facts are on the president's side. But we got an unfair process because they don't have the facts. We got an unfair process, most importantly. And this gets to something else you said, Mr. Turley. And this is scary. How mad the country... I mean, that was so well said. This is scary. The Democrats have never accepted the will of the American people. To Mr. Turley's point, 17 days ago, the Speaker of the United States House of Representatives called the President of the United States an imposter. the guy 63 million Americans voted for, who won an electoral college landslide, the Speaker of the United States House of Representatives called that individual an imposter. That is not healthy for our country. This is not healthy. The facts are the facts. They are on the president's side. That's what we need to focus on, not some constitutional hearing at the end of the process when you guys have already determined where you're going to go. With that, I yield back.
The home run, home run.
Jonathan Turley is a college professor. The entire afternoon, I didn't watch at all, but I think I'm correct in saying that the hearings today centered around the testimony of four college professors. And three were a slam dunk. And, oh, yes, yeah, there's egregious stuff that happened. You know, I sat there and listened to these clowns just drone on endlessly. There is no fact here. There is no issues that they can prove. It's just the regurgitated innuendo. But Jonathan Turley, he's a professor. Now, you would expect some kind of maybe bias from somebody that voted for Hillary Clinton in this last election and voted for Barack Obama twice. That's not what this guy did. I'm going to play the 3-minute clip here, Steve, from Turley in his... let me make sure I got the right clip here. With his testimony today. Ready, Mike? Sorry. By the way, I hope you guys are noticing out there now on YouTube, when you watch a YouTube, they've scrubbed the bad people off of there. Now you're getting United Nations commercials 24/7. How do you like them apples? Jonathan Turley is a George Washington University law professor. This is what he said at the hearings today. And again, I'll remind you, he voted for Hillary Clinton in 2016, Barack Obama in 2008, and 2012 as well.
President, if you make a high crime and misdemeanor out of going to the courts, it is an abuse of power. It's your abuse of power. You're doing precisely what you're criticizing the president for doing. You're saying Article 1 gives us complete authority that when we demand information from another branch, it must be turned over or we'll impeach you in record time. Now, making that worse is that you have such a short investigation. It's a perfect storm. You set an incredibly short period, demand a huge amount of information, and when the president goes to court, you then impeach him. Now, does that track with what you've heard about impeachment? Does that track with the rule of law that we've talked about? So, on obstruction, I would encourage you to think about this. In Nixon, it did go to the courts, and Nixon lost. And that was the reason Nixon resigned. He resigned a few days after the Supreme Court ruled against him in that critical case. But in that case, the court recognized there are executive privilege arguments that can be made. It didn't say, you had no right coming to us, don't darken our doorstep again. It said, we've heard your arguments, we've heard Congress's arguments, and you know what? You lose. Turn over the material to Congress. Do you know that what that did for the judiciary is it gave this body legitimacy. It wasn't the Rodino extreme position that only you decide what information can be produced. Now, recently, there are some rulings against President Trump, including a ruling involving Don McGahn. Mr. Chairman, I testified in front of you a few months ago, and if you recall, we had an exchange, and I encouraged you to bring those actions. And I said I thought you would win, and you did. And I think it was an important win for this committee because I don't agree with President Trump's argument in that case. But that's an example of what can happen if you actually subpoena witnesses and go to court. Then you have an obstruction case. Because a court issues an order. And unless they stay that order by a higher court, you have obstruction. But I can't emphasize this enough, and I'll say it just one more time. If you impeach a president, if you make a high crime and misdemeanor out of going to the courts, it is an abuse of power. It's your abuse of power. You are doing precisely what you're criticizing the president for doing. We have a third branch that deals with conflicts of the other two branches. And what comes out of there and what you do with it is the very definition of legitimacy.
Now, that's the abbreviated clip. His testimony lasted some 19, 20 minutes. And then the rest of that testimony, he said that there are no crimes here. There are no crimes that have been committed. But that's not stopping these people. And Steve, I think the Adam Schiffs of the world and the Nadlers of the world, I think they're in for a surprise. There's this AIG report that's going to be coming out that's pretty much going to bake both of them. And I've noticed something here. Nancy Pelosi has not been in front of any cameras. She's ducked down in a basement someplace. She's letting this thing play out. And the word on Capitol Hill is that she's stuck. She's damned if she stops, and she's damned if she continues. But here again.
Well, John, I'm going to have to say that, yes, something has to happen next week with Michael Horowitz and his report on the FISA court abuses, because this was definitely an abuse. They have to save face right now because the intelligence communities have a very bad reputation. They appear to be, actually they are, they are rogue, especially the FBI. And we have 17 intelligence agencies. We don't really know much about the other 16, but we do know the FBI is very rogue. They've acted rogue. We saw the text between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page. That actually was, that's illegal. That is a coup, a silent coup. There was a conspiracy very, very early on to take out Donald Trump had he won the election. And if you trace it back, the schematic, if you trace it back, we see how far it goes back to Steele dossier, Christopher Steele, many, many players in this illegal action. This was all in the works. This was the, as what did Hillary Clinton say, this was the backup plan. And she had no idea. She thought for sure she would win this election pretty easily with the fraud that she had planned, and it didn't work out quite that way. So I think Inspector General Michael Horowitz is backed up against the wall here to bring some credibility and some back to the intelligence agencies, especially the FBI, that something has to be done, and the FISA court. You just can't smack the hands of these people and say, well, you did wrong, and we move on, because that's not going to work, because it'll happen again and again. Something seriously has to be done.
Well, I'm waiting for something to happen here. By the way, Turley, as I said, gave testimony for 19, 20 minutes. That's minus the, you know, a little cross-examination from the assets sitting at the at the podiums. He said, you know, this is wrong. He gave an example. He said, people are angry. My wife is angry. My kids are angry. America is angry. He says, I think my dog's even angry. And he said, you know, this is wrong. Being mad is no basis for impeachment proceedings. And that's what really this is about. They did not want Trump in there. Period. And this is the best that they can do with this long, drawn-out public play on somehow, they figure they talk long enough, they might convince some people that Donald Trump's a bad guy and he committed some egregious sins that are worthy of being pulled out of office. He's not a Richard Nixon. He didn't defy the courts. Steve, I don't know what's going to stop any of this. I don't care if it's school boards getting foo-foos in the classroom to destroy your children's minds, or these people in politics polluting everything? And did you notice something? I don't know how many hours you watched of this today. How many references did you count with the Democrats going to George Washington and Thomas Jefferson and the intent of the Constitution? And I'm watching these card-carrying communist asshats channeling George Washington. I thought, this is the epitome of hypocrisy. Yeah, what? This has gone beyond the pale of lying through your damn teeth. This is simply outrageous.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I wrote something today and I heard one of the females, I can't recall her name, she was talking about the founders of the Constitution would be horrified at this president for his abuse of power for personal gain. And I thought, the founders of the Constitution, these are the same guys that used to creep out in the night in the snow to go out to the slave shack and have sex with their black female slaves. Is that the same ones you're talking about? Give me a break here. Come on. They have no case. They have no case. They know they have no case. And how many times did I hear presumably, I hear new words all the time to indicate some kind of accuracy and validity, presumably so. Everything was suggestive speculation. Mm-hmm. They have no
conclusions.
Case, they know they have no case.
Conclusions based on erroneous facts. I love that one. You know, it's the conclusion here. You know, okay, if you're charged with murder, and you are the defendant in a murder trial, and you know you didn't commit murder, are you going to sit there and allow the court to demonize you without presenting any fact? And there's a presumption of guilt, not a presumption of innocence. They're presuming you to be guilty and giving testimony or evidence that's not convicting you. I mean, we can't even get to the circumstantial stage of this. It's just the conclusion of the lies that they have spun, and as many times as they repeated it, these are the conclusions.
Well, John, they started off the hearings with it was already guilty. See, they already knew in their minds, they say he's guilty. The whole hearing on TV and all the drama of this whole hearing situation here was nothing more than we are trying to convince you, the viewer, that he's guilty. They already had in their minds he's guilty. This was a rigged hearing, and Jim Jordan, he hits a home run today. This was so rigged. And now they also condemned Donald Trump for not participating with the House Judiciary Committee. Are you kidding me? I'm supposed to. This is crazy.
That's like walking up the gallows pole. Excuse me, Mr. Executioner. Let me help you. Let me put the noose around my own neck.
Exactly.
I don't know. These Democrats, they keep demonstrating their inability to get anything straight. Why would they bring up this Professor Turley? He didn't like Trump. He voted Democrat. He voted Hillary Clinton, for God's sakes, and he voted Barack Obama twice. But yet this guy gets up there and he basically blows the Democrats out because he's looking at this and he's going, wait a minute here. We have law in this country and you've not proven anything. Nothing.
Right.
This must have been a real... Man, I would have liked to have been a fly on the wall in that hearing room. You know, because there was a lot of conversations, mics were being covered up, and the politicians were bending backwards, talking to each other, and it's like you guys couldn't even get that right.
Well, I was laughing last night. I flipped around a little bit. I watched Tucker for a little bit, and Tucker was picking on Chuck Todd. I call him Chuck Tard, and how he's still and all these Democrats are still holding on to this illusion that I guess we all heard different from Robert Mueller. But I remember hearing Robert Mueller saying there was no Russian collusion, but he still talks about the Russian collusion, the Russian-Trump collusion in the 2016
election. It's because we don't have an honest media correcting the guy that's a known liar. And the next time he lies, they're not going to check him on it. We'll just let another lie roll. Nothing to see here, folks. Everybody move on. And that's the problem. Has everybody forgotten about Hillary Clinton, her foundation? The millions of dollars coming out of Russia, the Uranium One deal, has everybody forgotten that yet?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website, by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You know, Steve, I post a lot of stories on the website, and Free Thought Project has done an outstanding job monitoring the police abuses, and they're pretty fair about it. If there's something that doesn't look quite right, they don't run the video and the condemnation of the cop. You know, if there is, you know, reasonable doubt as to the actions taken by the cops. In other words, this is just not all let's hang the boys in blue crowd. They're objective in their reporting, and the problem is they've got so much to report on. And I'm looking at this, Steve, and it's just not cops in this country. It's everybody. Everybody seems to be tainted with this disease of I can't think anymore. I mean, we got a Louisiana Boy Scout leader. He's charged with over 500 counts of possessing child porn. Story after story I've posted up, the teachers are taking liberties with their underage students. We've got the rubber raincoated clowns that used to stand on the street corners and they'd stand out like sore thumbs, ogling little children. Jethro Tull even did a song about it called Aqualung.
Yeah.
You know? But here's the thing. Everything has shifted to into the permissible. Anything goes. It's okay to teach the children this, that, and the other. Think about this, folks. You're in there screaming blue bloody murder at your teacher for teaching your children about sex, this deplorable stuff, when they're only 7, 8 years old, whatever the case may be. But what's the indication that those teachers, that the stuff that they're teaching in that classroom, and they turn around and they practice it in real life on one of their students, they're going, what did I do wrong? What did I do wrong? This is a disease that's spreading across this country. And if we don't put a prophylactic on this disease-ridden thing real fast, we're all going to be infected.
Well, we've become a country of moral decay, John. That's what's actually happening. We have no decency anymore. I mean, people do, but the government doesn't, and the lowest common denominator. They're just going as far down as they possibly can, and that's part of their agenda. You know, get rid of this. I've always theorized that the end goal is to end religion, to kill off God, to kill the Bible off, to either burn it like a Fahrenheit 451 situation, or simply shelve it in a library as fiction. It's not real. Nothing is true in there. If you cite it from any quotes from the Bible, any scripture from the Bible, it's discrimination. You're a hater. You'll be labeled. I think that's the goal. I think that's the goal of these people.
Well,
to kill off religion.
Well,
you see, they can't actually debate the issues of religion at all. There was a teacher in Utah last week that was fired. A substitute teacher was fired last week over saying that something about homosexuality was a sin. It's in the Bible. Well, I'm not a biblical scholar, and I'm not going to go into that direction, but I do believe it is a sin. And she simply said that, and she was escorted out of the school as if she were a criminal and fired, only because she quoted something from the Bible.
Well, we can't have God there, and we can't have the written word there, can we? Because these are all reminders of all the areas they want to transgress into.
Exactly.
I mean, it's a self-fulfilling, damning prophecy that's being fulfilled by people keeping their mouths shut, by bending the, and I talked to you earlier today, and I said the trap has been set, and people are falling into the trap that you can't say anything because, see, there's prima facie proof that this person is a hater.
Yeah, John, I opened up your show yesterday with one of my opening statement on my show on Sunday, and part of that is saying silence is implied consent, and we need more people to say, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to be that one to say something and plant the seed to others to say, you know, I'm the first. Follow behind me here. This is wrong. We need a coalition. We need a lot more people to say, no more. No more of this. Silence is implied consent.
Yeah. We need more leaders and less followers.
That's right.
Fred in Iowa. He says it's going to be short. Go ahead, Fred.
Hi, gentlemen. Hey, Steve, I ain't going to go on here, go on forever. But what you just said, I agree with you 1,000%, and it's what I've been trying to get out for 5 years. But anyhow, the deep state or whatever, and I don't call it the deep state, I call it the Antichrist. And they're trying to kill Christ.
Yes.
And you hear people and their goddamn ignorance, and I've said for ages Catholics are 99% ignorant, Protestants are 95% ignorant. And then people, if they're non-believers, they go, well, this Christian, they're just like everybody else. Actually, shamefully, that's a true fact. Us supposedly Christians are just like everybody else. We're a bunch of phonies. But that doesn't change the word of God one iota.
See, and Fred, even what we're talking about, what you're discussing right now, even if none of it was real, a long time ago, I'm sure somebody figured out that, wait a minute, how do we keep the ever conniving, ever undermining, greedy, salacious, get over people in general, human nature, How do we keep this in check? Okay, we got it. All right. God made the rules. And how do you go against the creator of the universe? And they pretty much thought that that'd keep things in check. Well, it hasn't. Because they've removed the Bible, God, and as Steve just pointed out, a teacher in Colorado, you know, it says in the Bible that men shouldn't lay down with men. Okay. Would you be escorted out of a school and then fired for that? What they have done is they've flipped the abnormal to make that normal and the normal people to be abnormal. And they've done all of this through their well-placed foundations, the well-funded groups and organizations infiltrating, presenting these programs, and then them being adopted.
What you say is accurate and true, and Christians are aiding and abetting it through ignorance.
Yep.
And, you know, like our
Constitution... No, wait a minute, Fed. You said this is going to be short. But it's not.
I can get off, okay.
Fred, hush a second. I'm not throwing you off. I'm just trying to get you to be quiet for a second.
Okay.
All right? In these schools, you're old enough that school prayer was not a big deal. That was a person's choice. Oh, he's a believer. He's a Christian. So we expect a Christian to pray. Okay, great. I had an atheist, Fred, and I tested his mettle. I made sure that this guy wasn't just an atheist pretending to be, you know, or an agnostic pretending to be an atheist, let's say. He said, no, I don't believe in the whole God thing or the devil thing at all. He said, but you know what? I will, and I had a conversation over an hour with this atheist on the phone, a whole hour. And he's listening to my show, obviously, because he's calling me at my office. And he said, you know what? Regardless of what I think, regardless of what I believe, he said, this is a great way to structure a culture and a society and to have a rule book for human beings. And he says, I can't say anything about the Ten Commandments of the Bible. He says, because take a look at them. What does it tell you? It ain't right to steal. It ain't right to covet thy neighbor's wife. Don't steal thy neighbor's wife. Don't go around lying about people. False testimony. On and on it goes. So he admitted that this is a great way for a structured society. I just don't believe that God's behind it. However, now it's a battle between good and evil, but I take exception to what you said, Fred. Because I think most of the latter-day Christians are cowards. I think they're cowards.
I agree.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. Stay on, Fred. I want to talk about this, too. This is interesting. And I've had a lot of discussions with people. Why are people so silent? And now you go back to the 60s and you saw... You saw what happened on college campuses. The students, they were not happy. They wanted to get out of Vietnam, and we should have not even been there, but they wanted to end the war, and how vocal and how physical they got to stop the madness of Vietnam. Where are those people today? I was part of the anti-war movement early on, the Gulf War. I marched. I went everywhere. We had much bigger crowds of people saying, no, no, no. Those crowds are small now. They're gone. And I asked myself, why did that happen? What happened to the peace movement? Well, the government attacked the peace movement. They started threatening us. You'll lose your job. You'll lose benefits. They used finances to shut you down and make those crowds much smaller. And I'm very angry that there are not more people. And you're right. Many Christians are cowards. They'll go along with it. I mean, this is crazy what's going on in the world. And for some reason, they're not speaking out against war. And they're supposed to be, religion is supposed to be about kindness and in the heart and your brother and taking care of your brother and caring for mankind. And we have Christians who are all right with slaying people.
Or we can do the Olstein, you know, God wants you rich.
Yeah.
You know,
can I talk?
Fred? Absolutely.
Okay. you guys bless your heart. You're covering a lot of good ground, and now we can talk as men that give a poop, that care for each other. Steve, what you said, I said, where are all these guys, these 60 men and women, when? Where in the hell are they now? But you know what, Steve? I was one of the, I won't say assholes, I was one of the a-holes on the other side.
Well, you just said the first, Fred, calm down a little bit.
Okay.
You didn't have to say the first one. We would have gotten on the second go-around there.
Okay. I was one of these guys, stupid guys, and I admitted over the air that I was on the other side. I was an owner-operator trucker. When I go down the freeway and see a long-haired young man, I'd swerve into him to scare the hell out of him.
So that was you on the road that day?
Yeah, that was me.
Okay.
Yeah, that was me. I seen you 10 years younger than me, and I tried trying to scare the hell out of you.
Trying to run me over.
Yeah, but, you know, I was too young for Korea, and then 4 years and 4 months, I was in and out before they really got into Vietnam. And I was a hawk. And why was I hawk? A hawk? Because I was a stupid ass. And I say this repeatedly over the air, that I didn't wise up until in my 60s. And now I am so against war and know the reasons for it. But when I want to talk about religion and expose the Antichrist. Now, why I am a believer is because for this reason. The preponderance of the evidence indicates to me that there is a creator. And this, what do they call it? One-sided or one, I can't remember the term. Well, anyhow, from nothing came everything. It makes no goddamn sense. So anybody that believes in evolution, that's a religion. It has to be a religion for them, just as much as Christians that are so-called Christians and true Christians also. How it is they're the thing they believe in. There's two different opposing worldviews. That isn't to say that there isn't decent atheists and agnostic people. There most certainly is. And that isn't to say that every Christian, so-called Christian, is a nice person. No, they're not. But both of them are ignorant, and that's what I was saying. That I got on a show yesterday that I was a hate. I hate sin. And of course, I've been a sinner. I hate sin. But you don't hate the sinner. But how this guy twisted around, well, Fred, he teaches hate. Well, hell, I call for love all the time, and I feel like a phony because I know how angry and how mean I can get. I know me. You know, I'm not a nice guy, but I
Look,
try.
Yeah, well,
I try,
Fred,
and I hope.
Being a Christian doesn't automatically put a halo on you and make you, you know, canonized material for the Roman Catholic Church. We are
right.
Human beings. These are called
right.
Emotions. We
right.
all have them.
Yeah.
But what has taken over is the distrust of other people. It's amazing the conversations I can have with people. They seem like they're normal and happy and well-adjusted. You leave out the politics, anything else, and you have this wonderful short conversation with a perfect stranger, and you wish them a good day, and you're both on your way smiling. But then start bringing up politics or religion. Yeah. Watch how things turn. Fred, I thank you for your call, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a great day, boys. I appreciate it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Steve, I'm getting more and more frustrated by the day.
About everything?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much. But I'm especially depressed about people that are not lifting their voices up, not using, I mean, it's been described as your First Amendment right. I don't see anything that precludes you from speaking your mind, and you can do it in a tactful, as loving and as encompassing way as you so choose. Some people don't have the art of conversation, and they can be quite brutish and quite direct, and I've been accused of that before, but but there are ways to talk to people, and at least, see, we're told that we've got to respect these people. We've got to respect them, and there is nothing there to respect. What they are doing is disrespectful to our country and our culture and our society, but we're told if you go outside of that and you criticize, well, you're a hateful person. It's the trap, folks. The trap.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
One other thing before we duck out of here today, Steve. There is a new thing in America's schools. It's sweeping the country just like their lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual, queer, and I don't know, 50 different shades of sexuality that they have. Now they're doing a thing called room clearers. When a child throws a tantrum that could physically endanger his peers, teachers evacuate all the other students from the classroom until the troublemaker has vented his rage upon empty desks and tables and chairs and pretty much thrown a hissy fit, tore everything up. The technique was virtually unheard of 5 years ago, but 56% of the surveyed teachers and parents in Oregon now report having experienced a room clear of their own child's classroom over the last year. Now, when you were going to school, when I was going to school, I'll tell you what that teacher did to a disruptor in that classroom. They went and grabbed him by the shirt collar and drugged them out of that classroom. And depending on how angry the teacher was, might have drugged you by your collar all the way to the principal's office.
Yep.
Well, now they're providing safe space for those. And what is the lesson that's being taught to these children? And especially to the one.
Act out.
Yeah, there you go. Act out.
Act out.
And they get the desired result because they throw a nit fitty and it affects everybody in that classroom. Rather than it being demonstrated that this behavior is not acceptable, come here, you little snot-nosed punk, and I'm going to drag your butt right out of this classroom. They're punishing the other students by allowing this kind of stuff to go on. And
well, John, keep this in mind, too. They're always talking about arming the school teacher, firearm, sidearm.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine the kid wigging out, throwing the tantrum? You're going to let him get near you to grab your firearm, your sidearm? No, this is crazy stuff. Yeah, you're right. They used to grab you and they take you right down to the principal's office and you got a paddling big time.
Well, they all have security resource officers there and they're all pretty much, they're out there moonlighting to augment their pay. They're regular patrol people.
Yep.
So why not just have an alarm?
Yep.
Here we go. Hit the alarm. Everybody, all the kids in class, just sit down and be quiet. This will just take a few minutes. Cop comes in, drags the kid out, drags him down to the principal's office.
There you go.
They can be doing something but sitting on their fat little duffs. And most of these guys, most of these resource officers, they just love jobs that they can sit around at. And that's what they do.
Yeah. Well, it's all that free food, John. I don't know any police officers that pay for their own meals. They get free lunch. They get free this. They get free that. That's terrible.
Cop fat jokes. Gosh.
Fat cop joke.
Fat cop
jokes. They don't run after anybody. They just pull that sidearm and shoot them. They can't run after anybody.
My.
Terrible.
You made a statement earlier.
Hey, John, can I do a plug?
For what?
For my guest on Sunday, I want to make sure that your listening audience, you got a bigger listening audience than I do, and I want to drag some over to my show on Sunday.
Okay.
I got to hurry then. John Clark's going to be on the show Sunday. He is a journalist investigator. We're going to be talking about the death of Marilyn Monroe, the association with the Kennedys, both Bobby and Jack. The death of Sonny Bono. He's got some great information there. And D.B. Cooper.
Well,
so
I heard the JFK was queer.
Off the Beaten Paths on Sunday, 8 to 10 p.m.
I heard the JFK was queer.
Yeah, I heard that from a listener, too, yesterday.
they wouldn't do that if I was in the chair.
I just can't hear it.
I hear you.
He's a womanizer.
Steve, the show has ended.
Yes.
I thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate it very
thank
much
you,
for you coming on today. Thanks, sir. And thank you all for being here today. We'll see you tomorrow.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 9-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.